This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. We're devoting our whole program today to the uprising in Los Angeles, which has spread to several other cities across the country. The interview with Patty Davis and pollster David Moore will be heard next week. Yesterday, we spoke with Janet Clayton, assistant editor of the Los Angeles Times editorial page. She told us she was leaving work early because of the curfew and would be heading over to her mother's house in South Central LA, the area where the looting and violence first erupted. We wanted to check in with her today. I asked her what she and her mother talked about last night.
Well, you know, she's been through this before, of course, in 1965, and actually I had been through it too, although not to the same degree, because as I said, you know, I was not an adult when Watts occurred, so it didn't have a big psychic toll on me. But she's been through this before, and, you know, it's worse this time. And I think she's, in a way, she's more discouraged this time, because I think that she had hoped that she would never live to see this again, as would any sane person. So, you know, she got to the point where she's pretty full of it. She turned it off, the television. She didn't want to see any more of it. She was busy cleaning the kitchen. It was cleaner than usual yesterday, which is what she tends to do when she's nervous and needs to occupy herself. She cleans, and she was cleaning up a storm yesterday.
How close was rioting or looting to her house? How close did it come?
The looting and the rioting, it wasn't as if people had were just taking to the street and torching everything they saw. It was quite targeted, it seemed to me, and the commercial establishments were the ones that were hit, and those occurred, you know, within five blocks of her house on major streets. She's on a residential street, and so the residential streets were not affected, but the minute you would get in your car or walk out and go to any major intersections, she was surrounded on every side by that, by the major streets.
Could you see any pattern to which businesses were being torched and looted, or was it just whatever was around?
It tended to be whatever was around, although some people are suggesting that Korean-owned businesses were targeted specifically, although we have a story in our paper today talking about all the many black-owned businesses that were hurt and destroyed by this. So it certainly, everybody's been hurt by this. I don't know whether Korean businesses have been specifically targeted. I know that many in the Korean American community certainly feel they were specifically targeted, but I don't know whether that was a function of the fact that they were targeted or the fact that they were there.
What's your sense of what's happening behind the scenes now to quiet things down? I don't mean by official law enforcement officers, but more from, you know, community and political activists.
Oh, well, you know, they're having all the usual meetings, you know, but everyone's seen this before, and they don't have particular faith in, you know, the same old political people sitting down with the same old political organizations saying, you know, we really must do something. But I don't know, someone suggested to me that maybe this will do for black people in Los Angeles and maybe nationwide what the Anita Hill Clarence Thomas controversy did for women, and that it made women, so many women, so angry that they mobilized behind that. And you're seeing now some evidence in some of the congressional Senate races that maybe that's making some kind of difference. One can hope that there will be some sort of difference made that black people and people who feel that they have been disregarded and disrespected will find a way to channel that anger into something that will really make them have some real power, as opposed to sitting around and talking about it and, gee, isn't it a shame? Maybe this will finally be the thing that sparks some kind of political systemic change, and I think that's the most optimistic face you can put on this. But I think, you know, you have to hope for something like that. Otherwise, why get out of bed in the morning?
You know, you were talking about your mother and how she felt like she'd been through this before in 65, and it was just so upsetting to her to see it happening again. What has she told you about what life was like right after Watts in the neighborhood, you know, right after the riots in the neighborhood?
Well, the thing to remember about the Watts riots is it was quite contained. It was in Watts. We did not live in Watts. All that was occurring to us, in effect, in 1965 is that our neighborhood was under a curfew, as were all neighborhoods with any black people in them, basically. And so we were under curfew, which we are now, But it, frankly, it wasn't as devastating as this current uprising, because you know, she made that point that my aunt did live directly in the Watts area, and she was more directly affected by it. But it really didn't change our lives in any fundamental way. It didn't torch stores in her neighborhood, but it's different now. And my mom has, you know, got to pass by all the stuff. She's got to look at this, and all of these shells of buildings are going to be there for many, many months, many, many months. And some of these businesses are not going to return. And it's going to. And she's afraid it's going to take another generation. And she said she's not going to live to see it. She doesn't think before all these stores return, if they ever do return. And it makes her very sad, because she wonders what kind of world we're leaving to my daughter. And that's a good question, and I can't answer it.
Do you know what you'll be addressing on the editorial page tomorrow?
Yeah, we're going to have another editorial talking about, you know, obviously still the riots, and talking, trying to point out to people that, you know, the good people who have been trying to help in the situation. We've got lots of great examples of people who have become good Samaritans, and trying to emphasize some of that, as well as talking about how, you know, obviously the victims here the important role the federal government now is going to have to play in this, if they're serious about addressing some of the core problems, some of the underlying problems that made this happen. So we're going to be addressing those three themes tomorrow.
Janet, thank you very much for talking with us.
Sure, sure, and thank you for calling.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Janet Clayton is assistant editor of the Los Angeles Times editorial page.